Shoes.
Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and welcome to the April 25th 911 marriage Q&A call. So our first question today is on respect. I read something I have felt is true, something that makes sense, really. If what I believe to be true is in fact not true and a past lie, then isn't that in itself a present lie? I think that's what's bothering me so much about the past. I have to accept the fact that I have to accept the fact that only what is important in his view is what he has told me. Why does someone who has betrayed their spouse get to make the decision as to whether or not something is important? I find myself resenting that very much. What about what is important to me? What if I feel that all of a sudden the lights have been turned out to my attempt to finish my puzzle? Can I heal when diminishing denial and lying are still going on? Should I move on? If I'm not told which were lies and which were truths, then how am I to sort out what's in my mind? I found an email that proved that he had spoken with her longer than what he had told me, and now I'm supposed to believe that was the last time they communicated. How can I set my heart at peace when I feel like there are so many important omissions and lies still out there? Even if he's not seeing or communicating with her now, I feel like I have to put the past to rest. How do we interpret what's important? It's not important if it's going to upset me. Or is it not important if it's going to upset me? It's a question. Somehow, I have a feeling that's the view he's taking. I know we're moving on and that he's been great, but he needs to open up if he truly loves and respects me. Disrespect is a horrible feeling, especially when you're dealing with betrayal. It's a matter of respect. Thank you. And I'm not sure if that's a question or more of a statement. You know, disrespect is a horrible feeling, especially when you're dealing with betrayal. And I think that that's an incredibly complicated question because I think at times what one person remembers in terms of their own subjective reality can differ so radically to what another person remembers. And in that situation, they get themselves deeper and deeper into trouble. I would hope, again, that someone would be honest and willing to answer questions to try to give that to someone. It's sad to me when, you know, someone feels that they shouldn't do that or it's not necessarily a good idea. The only thing I know to do is state what the research says is that 84% of the time, when couples can continue to discuss this over a long period of time, they end up really doing better. Now, as we've mentioned in some other questions before, when a question is asked, it's important that that is all that's dealt with. You know, I think that the person that's asking questions needs to agree that there won't be any deal breakers, and two, there won't be marathoning. But if you give the other person those two pieces, no deal breakers and no marathoning, no lectures per se, then I would hope they would also be concerned enough to be able to, I think, answer those questions and try to get the questions out of your mind. I wish I could help more, but hopefully that will help a little. Now, the next question, handling the loss of the affair partner. It's been 2 months since my affair ended, and my emotions are a roller coaster. My husband's been wonderful, going to counseling and reading the books that the counselors recommended. He sincerely wants our marriage to work and is fearful that he cannot make me happy. We've been together over 25 years, and I do love him. But after my affair, I'm left questioning what love is. I thought I loved my AP and questioned how I could fall for someone else if I were, quote, in love with my husband, close quote. I'm hurt and grieving the loss of my AP, while at the same time trying to figure out what in me led me to choose to have an affair and trying to work on feelings again for my husband. I wonder why I seem to spend more time thinking about what I felt with my AP and not over the guilt of hurting my husband. That alone leads me to question whether or not I can be happy in my marriage. There is a huge internal battle in me over my Christian beliefs that God brought us together and wants our marriage to be fulfilling and my ability to love my husband as he deserves to be loved. The constant up and down seems too much some days. Everything I read seems to say that we need to give it at least a year of trying before we make any decisions, but I don't want to hurt my husband again in a year by telling him I cannot stay. To the outside world, we have it all, and I so desperately want to find happiness in my life and love my husband and don't want to hurt our girls. Is this normal? And any suggestions of how to heal from the pain of the loss of my AP with no disclosure? The very abrupt change in my heart on my AP's part has left me in heart. The very abrupt change in heart on my AP's part has left me reeling and stuck in the past. And any suggestions of how to read this last part? Is it normal that I would feel this way? And to that question, absolutely. I think you said you're 2 months since the affair ended, and I would tell you that that's a struggle that goes on for months, and therefore I would agree that you certainly want to give this one time to gain perspective. I suggest that you don't even begin to see anything for the first 3 months, so certainly I think you're on the short end, and I would just hang on and see. I mean, it's you've got 25 years of investment. You won't know in 2 months because it's too painful what all has happened to you. And especially it's normal, the struggle I believe you're going through back and forth trying to determine what's normal, what's not normal, what should I be doing, do I want to be with him? I mean, I would think you would still have that and all the confusion. I think it really takes a long time to gain perspective, and I hope you can be patient to do that. Any suggestions on how to heal from the pain of the loss of my AP with no disclosure or with no closure? And I guess that means that you weren't able to get closure from your AP. To me, that's actually an issue that I would hope your therapist could help you with. When I work with people who terminate from their AP, we actually work at finding at least some form or type of closure. And I think that at one level, being able to settle it in your mind, but to do that, it usually takes several months worth of therapy where you really begin to discuss the AP and have the freedom to talk and try to determine really what that did represent for you, because you have a lot of unanswered questions. And what was it about this individual that was appealing? What are the pieces of this individual potentially you're not seeing? How do you gain perspective? And I think unless you have a safe person to talk to, and I would recommend a therapist in this situation, it's going to be hard to gain that sort of perspective to figure out how in your own heart and your own mind to ultimately get closure. And the very abrupt change in my heart, in heart, on my AP's part has left me reeling and stuck in the past. And I'm not quite sure what the abrupt change in heart on the AP's part has been, but again, that's something that I would recommend you process back with a therapist. I think in the future, it'll probably still be 3 to 4 months, we'll have another unfaithful women's group, and that is really helpful, I think, when you can begin to discuss and process those things with other people who have gone through this. So I would hope that, again, in the long run, that's a place that maybe by the end of the summer, you could also find a group of women working through this that may help you gain perspective. Okay, next question, narcissism. I find that I get bitten unexpectedly most often when I think my husband is functioning in reality, and in fact, he's made the shift into extreme narcissism, and I fail to notice. Any thoughts on how to spot the early warning signs a little better? The problem with that, I think, is people kind of go into the box, and there's a loss of concern, I think, when we move into the box and we move into our own self-centeredness for other people. People at that point become more like things we have to cope with, problems we have to deal with. They become more things to manage, and there's I think a lot of times a loss of maybe the ability to be really concerned about them. Once someone shifts back into that kind of narcissistic state, they're thinking more about themselves. So one of the things that I guess one of the first signs I would look for is if somebody's starting to blame, and if someone's not expressing concern, those would be the two biggest things. If it feels like they kind of have lost their worry about you, then I would say somebody may have shifted back more into a self-centered focus. And hopefully that's a tough situation, but a lot of times you'll just notice more criticism, and you'll notice, again, more kind of what you're doing to me and kind of correcting you for that versus being concerned about how you're doing. So that concludes our questions for the day. I want to thank everybody for calling in, and I do hope everybody has a good day, and I will look forward to talking to you guys next Monday. Hope you had a good holiday too. So everybody take care, and until next week, to healing.